people out here. Look at this book I covered a little bit last time. I just want to spend a little more time in it because it's so interesting. Back in the 1800s, and you know, if you look and you think, we always had to look at our own little space. We're kind of compartmentalized a lot of times. And you look, if I would be over here, it'd be different in the good old days. And no doubt things have changed, even my generation. You know, without a doubt, things have changed a little bit. But this brother, Talmadge here, no doubt has some insight. There are saints, without a doubt, that the Lord gives some insight. You know, a good preacher is 50, 60 years ahead of his time. And he can see things like, well, you know, ahead, because you know why? The scripture is alive, and it's an amazing thing. You know, in season, out of season, reprove, but you can see they're ahead of their time. And his Talmadge, without a doubt, was ahead of his time, without a doubt. And no doubt he had some things here that you read him, you're like, well, how can this be? And in his book, this is his book he wrote. I mean, it's 600 pages long, outstanding book, worth reading. And you can see what he sees is going on today. Nothing ever changes here. He talks about evil companions. It says, may it please the court. He's speaking, you know, legal standpoint. He was going to be a lawyer, of course. He didn't become a lawyer. Said, a convicted criminal, when asked if he had anything to say before sentence to death, was to pass upon him, may it please the court, bad company has been my ruin. There you are. Hey, you know what, though? Who you hang around with, folks. I remember growing up, our folks were like a guy named Tom Genghis. Remember him? And he was kind of a troublemaker. And my folks go, don't hang around Tom. He's a troublemaker. You know, we're a bunch of kids. You know, the parents know some things, amen, that the kids can't see. And you went, though, do we listen? No. We like hanging with them. You know, we made us fake IDs. We can drink and all that stuff. And I was like, don't do that. I'm unsaved, of course, you know. And you went, though, he just turned out his life to be a mess. I mean, literally, me and Willie went to witness to him at a restaurant. We called him in because he's going through, you know, liquor and divorce and gambling, all stuff. And he was really down to ruins almost, you know, at all these restaurants. And tried to talk to him. He was so angry. He went through this divorce at his wife. You couldn't get to him. When you're so angry, you know, you can't, you know, when you have that thing built up inside of you, you're close-minded. And it was kind of a sad situation. It was a bad company. In olden times, prisoners were herded together in the same cell, but each one learned the vices of all the criminals, so that instead of being reformed, being incarcerated, they learned all the tricks. You know, go to jail, you'll get better. That's not the case. Jesus Christ reformed, but he sees this here. Hey, you're going to learn the vices of other, you know, remember, bad company, right? This just bad company. Sin is catching an infectious epidemic. That's all has to do with a lot of bad company. It's interesting. Before you admit a man into your acquaintance, this is what he says. It's interesting here. This is good little wisdom here. Before you admit a man into your acquaintance, ask him politely, with some grace, what do you do for a living? If he says nothing, ding, ding, I am a gentleman. I look out for him. Look out for him. He may have a very soft hand and very faultless apparel and have a high-sounding family name, but his touch is death. Before you know it, you will be in his presence, be ashamed of your work dress. Business will become to you drudgery. And after a while, you will lose your place, and afterward, your respectability, and at last, your soul. Idleness is next door to thieves and gambling, and burglars and shoplifting and assassins are made from the class who do nothing with it. Idleness. How about that? I mean, a lot of people that grow on farms and things, they learn about working. Idleness. We have a lot of that going on in government today. You know, handouts, idleness. Been in jail many, many years. Talk to people. Man, they just had nothing to do. They did nothing to do. And what found them were the gangs of the land. So, this is 150, 160 years ago. Nothing kind of really ever changes. You know, a lot of times what happens, you get a bunch of ladies and they're a bunch of divorce, and then you get a single lady in there to go out have lunch with them, talk about, oh, how nice it is being divorced. All of a sudden, they divorce their husbands. I see it happen all the time. Or it could be, you know, your husband's no good. Oh, yeah, my husband ain't good either. All of a sudden, that bad company, bad companies. You know what I'm saying there, you know? So be careful who you hang with. A lot of truth here. I thought that'd be very, very, very interesting here, you know? Talks about, I'm getting today, the nighttime, you know, being nighttime. Right around that nighttime, this, you know, men like darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You know what I mean, you know? So, you know, most people are going to sleep. Like, you know, if you work hard, we do, you're resting. Hit the bed, you're out, right? Because you're working, doing something, you know? But you went to, oh, I lost a hand, get energy, you're going out nighttime, right? I mean, 150 years ago. Nothing really kind of ever changes. It's interesting how relative this thing here is. Interesting here. So I have the right page here. Here we go, yeah. This is about, here a young man who says, I cannot see why they make such a fuss about intoxicating cup. Liquor was a big deal back here. I mean, this was a bad deal. I mean, now it's accepted, but it was still in transition over there about liquor, you know. I mean, going back, and now it's like, it goes without saying. I mean, you know, if there ain't liquor involved, there ain't any fun with it, the way things are today. About the intoxicating cup. Why, it is exhilarating. It makes me feel well. I can talk better, think better, feel better. I cannot see why people have such a prejudice against it. A few years pass on, and he wakes up and finds himself in the clutches of its evil habit, which he tried to break, but cannot. And he cries out, oh Lord, God, help me. It seems as though God would not hear his prayer, and that the agony of his body and soul, he cries out. It biteth like a serpent and sting like an adder, right? How bright it was at the start, and how black it is at the end. Amen? I went to PGM this last Thursday, and a guy named Mike, good guy, came out visiting my daughter's church, King James guy, he had a ministry, King James Mike, at whatever name it is, you know, he's a good guy, and he was involved with liquor, and he says, at first, he says, interesting, you know, it was fun in the beginning, and then you know what happened? Then it became work. See what I'm saying, you know? And then he had to work to keep the buzz going, get that, you know? It was labor. It was fun, and then it was laboring, and then it was work to stay sober. I mean, see how it bites you? It stings like an adder, and stings at a very, very dangerous spot. People don't realize that. They don't even talk about it. Here we go here. How many men or women in favor of the great temperance reform? What temperance was back then, was the fight against abstinence against liquor. You understand that? I mean, I think we have an old Bible, and there's what they call an abstinence pledge for marriage. It's a good little picture. You're signing, and there's a nice new married couple, and they have a cup, there's a snake on it. Abstinence. Zero tolerance. That was back here. They're fighting against all that stuff. Can be so hoodwinked as not to understand that its high license movement is a surrender of all temperance reformation in which good men and women have been struggling for the last 60 years. Remember, this is since 1800 now, 1850, is to me an amazement of eclipse proportion. And without going into it, what the government did ain't changed one bit. Oh, we're going to charge you licenses, high money for the licenses, you know, and you know, $500,000 back here. Imagine back how much it was. And what the Jews was, oh, it's going to a good cause, to shelters and all. See, that's how you rationalize it, you know. All the gambling stuff, you know, for all the lotteries. It's going to schools and stuff. They always try to paint a picture. Nothing. You see it here. Oh, and of course he sees that. That's a bunch of baloney. So you cause a trouble here, and then you have a little solution. But the solution is way big more times than the cost. It's a racket. Of course he goes through this. I don't got time for it. But it's interesting how the government just hornswoggles people and some of this. You know, drunkenness is the greatest evil of all of this nation. This is U.S. It takes no logical process to prove that a drunken nation cannot and no longer be a free nation. Amen? It's that liquor. I tell you, strong drink is crooked. Crooked outward, crooked cognac, crooked schnapps, crooked beer, crooked wine, crooked whiskey, because it makes a man's path crooked. Amen? And his life crooked, and his debt crooked, and his eternity crooked. Nothing really new going on. Some really good stuff here. I wish I had time to go. Some of it here, man. Been a whole time here. Here we go. It's interesting here. Gotta cover this here. I'll close this here because I get the lesson here. Talk about politics. Well, nothing's ever changed one bit. You're gonna know that. I'm gonna say that, right? The Democratic Party is power for most of the time for 40 years. What does this national party do to expite the force of evil? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Apparently nothing. The Republican Party, a power for about a quarter of the century, what has it done nationally to eschew evil? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Apparently nothing. It looks in the other direction. Nothing ever changed, has it? This is 1860. Democrats, Republicans. I mean, you know, what do you do? I mean, I have some good things in there. But here he is in 1860 telling you all this. The Church of God is the grandest and most glorious institution on earth. That's true. The believer, amen. What has it in solid, what has it accomplished to overthrow drunkenness? That's our job. You realize that. It's the church doing this. Have its focuses ever been martial? No, not in this direction. It's about liquor and all that stuff and truth and evil, you know. The church holds the balance of power in America, and if Christian people, the men and women who profess to love the Lord Jesus Christ, love the book and love purity, and to be sworn enemies of all uncleanliness and debauchery and sin, it all such would march side by side and shoulder to shoulder, this evil would soon be overthrown. Well, he's given the believers, folks, the church. And what happened a lot of times, we just look the other way sometimes. You compromise. Or, right, we remember the church is going to end bad. Very interesting here. So here we're just we'll stop here for right now. But very interesting the way he sees things. If I didn't read the date of this thing, you'd think I'm reading something here from today. But nothing ever changes. And the only thing that changed is the Lord looked down on all that and go, wickedness, corruption. And with him, he's sitting back there, storing up wrath. Right? Yes, sir, brother.
I was listening on the radio on the way here, and the guy was talking about a chaplain for the U.S. Senate, Peter Marshall, you may be familiar with him, in the 40s, okay? And he preached a message to the cadets at West Point, and he preached a message that was prophetic because he was talking about going to war, and it wasn't soon after Sunday or two that the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. But what he said was, which I thought was really interesting, he said, you have to take a stand for something. He said, if you take a stand for something, if you don't, you'll fall for anything.
That's right.
Those
are little cliches that are true.
Right.
And sometimes a little bit of something that's true. Some little statement, you know. I can remember that statement. Amen. That's very good. Okay. Well, not to go so long, but I think it's interesting seeing that, you know. I mean, you see where you're at, see where we're in the past, and, you know, the church, the born-again child of God is in light, and we're against those things, separations, and we're the one to be saying something. We have the power, reason. Reformation. I mean, a good thing is fine if something changes, but if Jesus Christ ultimately ain't the end solution, and you get saved and grown, it's just a good thing. But it's, you know, I was at a birthday party yesterday for a 95-year-old lady invited me out, and there was a lady there. They, you know, want to give some money. One was a church, other one was this organization. They provide. It's hard to believe. They provide blankets for animals, comfort creatures, and they're giving out. They started with nothing. They're giving away 20,000 blankets to all over the country to comfort animal cats. I like dogs, and I'm a big fan of cats. But I mean, not a big deal, you know. I'm saying anything, but I mean, I'll not insult anybody here. But like, man, there's so much. If you put your energy and time in something, do something that has an eternal mode, right? This is a volunteer. She works. This is her volunteer. I have to do something for a living. This is what I'm doing for a living. That's better than working, you know, selling liquor and cigarette at a gas station, I guess, I mean, whatever. But I mean, there's a voluntary thing for your time in there and all eternity, what we'll have to do. Not just my opinion, but anyways, okay. We're continuing on positive. Well, positive now. This is positive. What happens to you individually once you get saved? Relationship with your father, the relationship with the son, relationship with the spirit, and relationship yourself. We're going to finish up today things on the Son, and we might get into, we'll get for sure, hopefully get into the Holy Ghost and fly through some of these things here. We can do some deep diving, but I just want to fly through these things a little bit so you can say, boy, I like that. It's a good thing. So we left off here where it says, this is relationship to the Son. We have our name recorded in the book of heaven life. And the reason I have a slash here because there may be a difference between a book of heaven and a book of life. I don't know exactly. I'll give some verses and you look at yourself. Hey, you know, I don't know everything. You know, a lot of times, you know what though? I like Pastor Hoffman. Hey, this appears like, you see, some things are absolutely, thus saith the Lord. But sometimes you have a double application. I like that it appears this way here. Ask your job. Hey, you know what? I'm going to ask the Lord. And the Lord reveal things to you. I like that. Sometimes some things are absolutely true. Amen. Some things appear. So I'll give you some verses here. I think for sure we're named in a book of life. The book of heaven is mentioned, but it seems to be for other people. But we'll see what happens. Luke 10:20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And he's speaking to disciples for the cross. So obviously he's speaking to disciples. And so no question they're written in the book of heaven, the disciples. Amen. Deuteronomy 9:29-20. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smote against that man, and all the curses that are written in the book shall be upon him. And the Lord shall blot out his name under heaven. Now, obviously, when you hear that, a lot of people use these verses to lose salvation. We know things were different in the Old Testament than we do now, right, the vine of the Word. So, obviously, you can lose things, you know. So, obviously, but there is a book of heaven there. Hebrews 12:23, to this general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect in the books written, just man made perfect in the books. Now, obviously we have Hebrew, kind of a transition book. But we know, no question, God has books for us. Amen? Now, here's a New Testament verse, Philippians 4:3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Now, I'm talking about book of life and book of heaven. Are they the same? I don't know, but no question, we're written in the book of life, without a doubt. And I mean, if you want to be written somewhere, you want your name written in the book of life. I mean, you may miss out on some things, invitation here and there, but you want to get for sure you have your name written in the book. So, and then seven times the book of Revelation, you hear these things. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and shall not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before the Father and before his angels. And that always been in Revelation 1-3, talk about a transition right there. Talk about things that are, things that come, and things in the past. So you're dealing with, like, you know, obviously, you know, they to overcome, I won't blot their name out of there. So, boy, I think you're talking to people not only that were here in this age, but to come and in the future. So you got a really almost a triple application here. It's very interesting in the first three chapters of Revelation. I think in 4, obviously we have a departure there, but here he is mentioning about the book of life. And then obviously in Revelation 3, 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So God is keeping records. I think for sure, without a doubt, the born-again believer has his name written in the book of life. So whether it's a book of life or a book of heaven, your name is there. I like to have a good spot to have your name. And that's something that God does. Amen. And you count on that, you know. I mean, I might be on the big, giant banquet for the presidential when they have an inauguration. I could care less anyways. But you know what, though? You miss on that, but you're missing something good here. Your name is written in the book of life. Amen. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. This is pretty amazing truth right here that, you know, I think it is. Ephesians 2:6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. This is a relationship we have with Christ. So spiritually, we're not there right now, obviously. Amen? But God puts us up there already in heavenly places through Jesus Christ. This is one of the most amazing passages in the New Testament, and because it's our position in Christ. We have a strong position in the Lord Jesus Christ. The context, obviously, Paul is present tense. Look at the context. I think we look at the Ephesians chapter 2. This is very interesting here. Let me write it down. I write down Ephesians chapter 2. That's fine. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 7. It says here, but God, who is, talk about encouragement. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. Now, if that ain't encouraging, I don't know what is. Amen? That is extremely, and by the way, that tells you he sees you now. So, you know what, though, if you have some troubles along the way, and we all have troubles, whatever it is, hey, the Lord just kind of somehow, you know, we can hold a grudge with somebody. Well, what he did here, you know, blah, blah, blah. But hey, look at the Lord. Hey, he sees us over there already. That's rich in mercy, great love, grace, raises up, sit together, heavenly places, exceeding riches, kindness. Those are great truths for the believer. Amen? How about that? Pretty amazing. All associated with God's Son. If you're associated with God's Son, you're in a good place. You know, I went to Israel with the pastor and a bunch of people here a few years ago. And no, take it personally, but rocky, sandy, hot, you know, and then a real beautiful land like even Switzerland and rolling hills. But you know why God likes it? Because it's associated with the Son. And obviously, I think according to Scripture, it's going to bloom again. And this ain't done from the Jews irrigating it. It's going to be blooming again. It'll be wonderful. It might have been back then. Amen? Back then. But now it's a rocky old, dusty old, and they're fighting over that thing. You know? A bunch of rocks and sand and cactus and stuff, you know? But associated with the Son, something special about that thing. Amen? So we're seated in Christ in heavenly places. Amen. We receive a blessed hope. We talked about it earlier. The blessed hope. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is a great promise. Hey, you know what though? If you've gone places and traveled, done things, whatever it is, a lot of times the anticipation is pretty good. I'm going here or something's happening, and the anticipation is kind of enjoyable, right? How many times have you done something and the anticipation was better than the event? Amen? Oh, kind of disappointing, you know? Sometimes you're at some restaurant, whatever it is, like, oh, that wasn't all that great, you know, right, you know? But hey, man, this is a thing here that the event, I think, can be way better than anticipation, right, man? You know, there was a story, I think it was of a man named, his name is Captain Monty. And in the 1800s, he was traveling by sea. You know, back in the day, they traveled by sea and they have GPS and all this stuff. And apparently he got, somehow got close to rocks or whatever happened. A storm came, his boat was sinking, and they took a lifeboat and with a sail, and they sailed to an island. And everyone was rescued. He was a great captain. And they go, hey, you know what, though? There's no one going to come by here. We need to get out and just get out back in the, out there with a few people right here, and get into the shipping lanes, wherever back then, and find a boat or sail to wherever we're going to. So he's getting people to go. And they said, no, Captain, you're going. Because we know that if you go, you'll come back for us. He wanted to stay with his men. No, you've got to go. Because if he goes, okay, I'm going with some other men. And if you go, I promise you I'm coming back. So sure enough, he gets on the boat and he goes out there and finds another boat. They rescue him. But, you know, this is Travis. So they took him to another part. They couldn't turn around and get the people. They took him to some port. And it took him like 2 or 3 months over there to get the energy, the resources, and then with the season. So he finally came back after 6 months. It's like, call the Coast Guard and rescue back in the day, 1800s. So sure, if he come back and he comes out to island and he went to, they're all packed waiting for him.
Was it in Antarctica?
No, that's another one. Okay. Another guy. I know his name too. And they're waiting for him. They go, how did you know I was coming? Well, we didn't. But we knew that your word was your word, and we did our stuff every day, and we stood up here waiting for you to come return. And they're like, no big deal for them. Hey, man, if that's the confidence you have in a man, to come back and get you, you didn't know what happened when he left with a little boat there, you know? Hey, how about the Lord Jesus Christ making his promise? You can count on it. Something you can count on right there. That is that blessed hope. That's the promise that the saint of God can absolutely count on. Amen? So that's a good one. The blessed hope. That's the blood, the book, the blessed hope, right? We have, back in the old days, right? The blood, the book, and the hope. We have fellowship with the Godhead. 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Obviously, this is John speaking to people. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So obviously, think about it. I mean, we get the promise of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. There he is. But you know what, though? You have the Comforter. You have the Word. You have Jesus. You have the Father. There's a fellowship there. I can't understand all that. Can you? If you can, I can know. It just somehow you have fellowship with the Godhead. John 14:6, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you the Comforter, right? That he may be able to abide with you forever. That's the promise to church. And these things are written to you, that your joy may be full. That's 1 John 1:4, right verse after 1:3. But there it is. Your joy can be full. Jesus, others, yourself, right? You know, so real important. We have fellowship. Obviously, the Spirit of God's there. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father. We read about him, understand how close they are, the Word. But it's a fellowship we have. It's a promise for the believer through Jesus Christ. We have a mansion prepared in glory. It says in John 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So I go to prepare a place for you. Without a doubt, the Lord's giving us a place that we have. Bible says a mansion. And in Revelation 21:2, it says, and I saw John, the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared for the bride. Now, we're the bride, amen? Right? That's a church. Adorned for her husband. Hey, you know what, though? So the Lord prepared a place, the groom, for us. I don't know what, but it got to be pretty nice. Think about it. No payments, no repairs, no leaks, no hassles, no insurance costs, no bad neighbors. No matter, we're always stuck with our own property. Amen. No farmers coming in, no bugs. Think about that. I mean, just to be able to have a nice place. There's always something, your own property, always something going on. Amen. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You want to rent, okay, call someone, but it's always something going on, you know? So it's just nice to be able to have a place, and not only have a dwelling place, beside that, a place that dwells righteousness, So you got the righteousness on top of that, and you got the place you're dwelling in. I like that. I don't know what it is, but you know what? Bring a smile on my mouth. And think about that, right? That's why these are truths that when we have some trials, what's that compared to these things? That's why I get these things down. What's that? That's a temporal thing, right? Amen? Okay, so those are what I had for relationship with the Son. And now here we go in relationship with the Holy Spirit. So I'll try to get through some of these here in a few minutes here. Obviously, we are born again. You know, and it says we're born the Spirit. John 3:3-7, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter a second time into mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water. Now, that pertains, to the physical birth, amen? But then what, though? What's water? Water by the washing of the Word of God, right? So I think it's a double application. You have the physical birth there, amen? Everyone's born physically, right? But you got the spiritual thing there, washing of water by the Word of God. So you got a double application there, you know? So, hey, so you're physically born, sir, but you know what, though? The water by the washing of the Word of God and by the Spirit, there's the Word of God and the Spirit of God. They both agree, amen? You know, amen? 1 John 5:7. Where would I go here? Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not, he must be born again. That's a spirit giving us life. And that's, we all know that. That's something pretty common. But hey, there we are. We're born again. Hey, amen. I like that. Amen. We are anointed by the Holy Spirit. Now, this word anointing, what the charismatic has done a lot, taking a lot of good truths and make some of the Baptists ashamed of some of these things. Oh, I'm afraid to raise my hand because I may be getting too excited or whatever, you know. Or some of these, hey, what the, do what the scripture says and the Lord leading man, you know. You know, so this word anointed, hey, it's a Bible word. And we, according to what I read here, we're anointed, but you know, the charismatics took in that and you're anointed and they could do all these some miracles and stuff like that. See, they took in the truth and they kind of, you know, misapplied it and come with heresy. Not, you know, the Bible. Hey, the Seventh-day Adventists, yeah, that's a truth for them people, not for us. We're on the seventh. The 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses God, that's for something them, not for us. See, it's a truth, comes a lie, not the right dispensation, right? So you get all that stuff here. So John 14:6, speaking about my Holy Spirit, but the Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost. There it is. How can you miss that? It's the Holy Ghost right there. Whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So there, no doubt, is a promise. It's an absolute Holy Ghost. John 16:13. How be it when he, now, it's small h, but he talks to you in a personal sense. The Spirit of truth is come. He will guide you into all truth, and he shall not speak himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you all things. No doubt about the Spirit of God as the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, this is speaking of Jesus Christ, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So there, obviously, the Spirit of God anointed the Lord Jesus Christ, obviously. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and now it says, and to recover the sight to the blind. Now, obviously, that's where the charismatic come in. They take, oh, look here, if Jesus Christ is anointed, I'm anointed, I can do miracles. See how they, you know, that was a sign for Israel? They took that in there, and they blew the thing apart. Well, I'm anointed, which is true, and now they add all these miracles they can do. That's where you got to rightly divide it. And set a liberty them that are bruised. Acts 10:38. How God anointed, verifying Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and went about doing all good, and here's that comma there, and healing all that were opposed of the devil, for God was with him. So now, see, they took a verse, and they add, well, I can do healings, and miracles, all these things, and they kind of make a mockery of things, but not understanding it. But in, for our age, clearly, 2 Corinthians 1:21, now he that Now he which stableth with us, you in Christ, he had anointed us is God. So we're anointed of God, from the Spirit. But the anointing which we have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointed teacher of you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as he had taught you, ye shall abide in him. So there's no question about it that we're anointed from the Holy Spirit of God. God puts a seal on us, obviously, and we can definitely look at the Word of God. We get to all truth, but you know, it comes down to be able to take some guy and touch him and heal him and all that stuff, everything. A lot of times people, Jesus Christ healed, he just said the word and they were healed. They make a big deal. I got to touch this healing touch, you know. I'm going to touch you. Well, Jesus Christ didn't touch someone. He just said the word. He said the word. And they make this big event of it. We're going to have a healing service and they pump you up, right? When I go have some fun, go to one of these healing things. I mean, it's just, they pump it all up and they get all this big crescendo everything for the great event. I mean, it's almost comical, but yet sad. So we are anointed by the Holy Spirit, without a doubt. We are sealed by the Holy Ghost. That's just a good thing. Ephesians 1:13, in whom also ye also trusted after that he heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after he believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's eternal security, folks. Hey, you know what, though? Half the people that say they're born again in the world, half of them don't have eternal security, don't believe in it. That's a big number, folks. That's something, rightly dividing the word, but half the people are saved aren't enjoying it. That's sad. Because they don't understand the verses that, look, you can lose it here, you got to endure to the end. They're not for us. And so they're not enjoying the benefit of what God gave us, clear as can be, in his scripture. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. It's a promise. God promised this church. Hey, man. I mean, no question about it. And this is the promise that he had promised us, even eternal life. Ephesians 4:30, and gave not the Holy Spirit, and grieved not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And I understand this being a state planner because a lot of people will have sons and daughters and they're theirs by blood. I mean, if you got a son or daughter, they're yours by blood, right? But you know what, though? A lot of times when it comes to an inheritance, the substance, they may have a wayward son or daughter and you don't want them to have something because they're going to hurt them. They may just not include them or do a structured thing. I have a case recently where a lady was a spendthrift and the dad gave her things over all these years. So, and not something else. So there's the inheritance, which is sometimes rewards, right? And they're rewards. You can't confuse rewards with eternal life. They're different. See, I think, you know? So use those verses for not being sealed with the Holy Ghost. And last one, I got to stop here because we're ready to go. But we'll continue on my next time. We'll cover the last things about our relationship with the Holy Ghost. And then also our relationship with ourselves. A lot of times we don't forgive ourselves and things that which God did and could cause a lot of trouble. So we'll stop right here and we'll have a word of prayer. First of all, I do. Any questions or comments on anything? We got a few minutes. I'll think about some of these things here. I'm going to think about what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity. Look at these things. And look at the great truths that we have for the saint of God. It's an amazing thing. Boy, it ought to motivate us. And it should encourage us, Father, because what you've done for us, for individually, Lord, we thank you for it. So I just pray we could meditate on these things and dwell on them and think about them and that you'd be pleased and we brag on you and glorify you. So thank you very much. Pray for now as Brother Hoffman comes up and ministers, may you prepare our hearts with the music. With the giving worship, and may we hear from you, Lord. May just open our hearts and minds and be able to hear from you this morning, Father. And we thank you. Help him out, Father, and things you want us to hear from him. And we thank you, give you the praise and the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.